the sermon will be short and sweet and something that you may repeat. And as we get into the Word of God, let us bow our heads. Thank you, Father, because you have been so good to us. You have provided the things that we knew we needed and even the things we didn't even have a clue we needed. But the greatest thing that we need now is you. And so may your Spirit draw us closer, ever so close to you. Speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thursdays. Maybe your Thursdays like our Thursdays. Our Thursdays happen to be garbage day. Maybe your day is different. That's just our route. And you know, there's a bit of excitement for garbage day because we know the drill. What does it look like? Well, we go through the whole house. We go to this room, get the garbage there. Go to that room, get the garbage there. Go to the other room to make sure that there's no garbage left in the house, because what happens when we leave garbage in the house? Oh, that's right. We're reminded of it not because there's words that we hear. We're reminded because, you smell that? That's pretty bad. When we remember that it's garbage day, it's a good thing. But when we forget it's garbage day, it's a very bad thing. We look at our neighbors and appreciate that they took out their garbage on time. Well, we have to wait. Or maybe we get creative. And when I think about today, wow, I think about what Jesus has done for us. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it talks about me. Maybe it talks about you too. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. My sins smell so bad that the garbage can smells good, and even then some, because my Bible tells me that my sins have brought about such a change that I cannot see God's face. Wow. I'm so glad there's communion service today. The Father had promised one to come. And all throughout history, they were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for one who was shown in symbol. And the Bible says in John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming and he realized, he put the dots together, the one that was prefigured, the one that was promised, the one who would die in your place, in my place. Oh, that's him. He is the Lamb of God. But you know what my problem is? Is that I like doing what's wrong. Is that your problem? The Bible says that we're to look somewhere. Somewhere where a price was paid for you and for me. A price that angels can't even look upon these things. They want to, but they cover their faces because it's so amazing. The Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God." talking about this lamb, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Words we know well, but yet let's take a look at them again. Isaiah 53, verses 3-9. The Bible says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of some of us, all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Behold the Lamb of God. By his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. The chastisement of us all, of our peace, was upon him. That's what Jesus did. Wow. Paul writes, Hebrews 9:28, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." Interesting how the Bible says many. Because if I were writing the verse, I would have said, "was offered once for all to bear the sins of everyone." Period. But no, the Bible says many. The reason why the Bible says many is because some people, some of us, want Jesus to bear our sins, and some of us don't. You see, Jesus is a Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sin of 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to do, forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. We got a question for you, church family. How is Jesus going to take away our sins if we haven't given them to him? He's ready to forgive. He died to forgive. He has made provision for your sin and for my sin. But if I keep on holding on to my sin, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," which means I have a part in this, in giving Jesus my sin. That's my part. Because I can't pay for it. That's way too expensive. 1 John 1 says, if we confess. That's part of us giving him our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You see, church family, our Thursday has arrived. Garbage day. The garbage goes out. Garbage day. Could there be some garbage? in our lives today? If we just leave it there, we know what's going to happen. There once was a woman who was faced with judgment and cruelty. And as she was on the floor, she gave Jesus her sin. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you're on the floor because sin has just beat you up and you feel thinner than a pancake. And you want to give Jesus your sin. And the devil's having you think that you've gone too far. You've supposedly committed the unpardonable sin. If you are here, it's because that you have not committed that sin yet. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." You see, back in Old Testament days, we'd have to bring a spotless lamb to the sanctuary. And would have to confess and put our hands over the head of this spotless lamb, symbolically transferring our sins upon this precious lamb that symbolized our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't have to do that, literally speaking, today. There's no sheep here. But the Lamb of God is still the one that we are to look to. Spirit of Prophecy says, "The light shining from the cross reveals the love of God. His love is drawing us to himself. If we do not resist this drawing, we shall be led to the foot of the cross in repentance for the sins that we have crucified the Savior. Then the Spirit of God, through faith, produces a new life in the soul. The thoughts and desires are brought into obedience to the will of Christ. The heart, the mind, are created anew in the image of Him who works in us to subdue all things to Himself. Then the law of God is written in the mind and heart. And we can say with Christ, 'I delight to do thy will, O my God.'" I've been reminded that I need to behold the Lamb of God. Who does what? He takes away the sin of the world. If I do not give Jesus my sin, where does my sin remain? It stays with me. Church family, I think today's a day to make some decisions. The Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive you and to forgive me of my sin. I don't know about you, but I want to take advantage of that offer. Is it time for Jesus to take away our sins? That's what I want to do. And today He invites us, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Today, we're reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus has made on our behalf, and pretty soon we will partaking of symbols of His sacrifice. Unleavened bread, symbols of the body, the life that Christ lived, spotless, without sin, and yet was broken for your sin and my sin. And then the unfermented wine, also known as juice, the fruit of the vine, symbol of the blood of Jesus. As we partake of these emblems, our faith is required, because these emblems in and of themselves have no power. They are symbols. Just like that spotless lamb in Old Testament times, that lamb had no power, but the Lamb of God had power. And faith in him brings about change. Before we come to the cross, we come to our brother and our sister in Christ. And we serve one another by washing each other's feet. If we have committed our brother and our sister wrong, we make things right. For we are all part of the body of Christ. And so there will be children's Sabbath school rooms set up for the gentlemen to wash each other's brother's feet. And then a room for the ladies here to my right, your left. Another Sabbath school room set up for you ladies. And then for couples who wish to serve one another, the Better Living Center, the building behind us, is also set up for that purpose. It is possible that you came here ready for communion and your heart is right. Or maybe you came here and you were not expecting communion. Nonetheless, God brought you here. And I invite you that if you choose not to actively participate of communion, still participate of communion in the form of prayer, in talking to the Lord, in being with your church family, in saying, you know what, maybe today's not the day, but next time I will participate. And so with that being said, let us separate into our different locations to serve one another in the washing of feet. And then we will come back here, and may we find our places reverently as we contemplate the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.